This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
And you can join the show here. You can bring up anything you want to talk about. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Mark.
And Mark is with us from Mexico City tonight. We're going to get back into the discussion we were having about, you know, is Mexico actually more free than the United States? But first, we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. Again, you can call in about anything you want to discuss. We have Skeeter on the line in California. Go ahead, Skeeter.
It's your boy Skeeter, but I'm calling in. So again, I'm a market anarchist. You know, I reject things like the Austrian schools, stupid stuff like that, rights-based, libertarianism, voluntarist.
He is a market anarchist, so, but he rejects...
That's what he said. Yeah, he rejects... So, you reject rights, you said?
Yes. I was just wondering how you guys, you know, claiming to, you know, advocate for the quote-unquote free market. I don't like putting free in front of my title, right? You notice it's just market anarchist. I just wonder how you guys get around the fact that
there's
going to
be a market whether
statist.
However you want it to be or not, there's going to be a market. It's like, oh, you believe in the market? Cool, you can see reality. Good for you. It's not really a belief system.
So what's your question?
There's a market.
So my concern was kind of directed more at like Mark and Ian.
What's the question? I'm sorry.
I can answer if I want. Just ask your question.
I didn't hear the question.
Yeah, but I'm more concerned with, you know, what they want to...
I'm completely unconcerned with your unread opinions on anything, and we're wasting time talking to you.
Like, again, I was just wondering how you guys get around the fact that rights are inherently statist in nature.
What's that supposed to mean?
The fact that it's not coherent with market theory.
Okay, I don't know what that all that means, but to me, rights are an agreement that humans came to with one another because it benefits us. It helps humanity to recognize rights in other human beings who can reciprocate those rights. The right to be left alone,
like,
for instance.
Kind of like the argument for that status used as for social contracts, right? Along those lines, right?
Kind of not,
no,
at all,
not at all.
Because rights are something that people have seen, they're self-evident in the world. When you're a little kid, you find out, oh, if I get hit, it hurts. I don't like that. And then you get taught, oh, you shouldn't do that to other people, because the same feelings happen with them.
We
it's self-evident.
Those.
Bonnie, so, I mean... Like, you don't think I understand your viewpoint, so, like, but what you're pointing
you obviously don't understand.
No.
Well, you think rights are statist.
Me.
I mean, clearly we have a fundamental disagreement.
I know more about
Peter.
How the Austrians feel about you.
I don't believe that we need a government to, quote-unquote, protect our rights. They just are. They aren't something that somebody comes up with. I don't even agree with really how the way Ian phrased it, that they're things that we just... decided because it's good for us. That's kind of utilitarian. My opinion is that they're self-evident. They are innumerable. It's not like, oh, I have the right to X, Y, and Z. It's I have the right to do anything that isn't wrong. It's right and wrong.
Oh, so you're just declaring that, a violation, because you guys just believe in property rights, right?
I already explained to you why... they exist because they're self-evident. I know that only I experience that. Can you shut up? Can you shut up so I can talk? Because you're so stupid and unread, and this is obviously why. Because you just like aren't listening to anything anyone else says, and you have these dumb opinions with nothing to back them up. So anyways, you understand from the time you're a little kid that you're the only one in your body that can experience the nervous system of your body. Like, if someone hits you, it hurts you, it doesn't hurt everyone else. Just from that idea alone, we understand we own our own bodies, and everything else follows from there. If I own my own body, I own the product of my labor, I own everything that I have used the product of my labor to create, to buy, and that's where property rights come from. They don't come from somebody saying, I decided this is going to work out best for us, so what do you guys think? And they all said, yeah, that's going to work out best for us. Maybe that could be a society recognizing the natural laws and then implementing them in their society. But the laws never changed. The natural laws of the universe, not man's law.
Mark, do you want to weigh in on this before I bring Skeeter back on the line? Because he just won't stop talking.
Well, that's what's the purpose of Free Talk Live, right, is to talk.
To have a conversation, but go ahead.
I understand where he's coming from to some extent, right? Like, so many of the laws, many of the rights that are enumerated in the Bill of Rights really couldn't exist without the state. So they would be, in that sense, status, right? Like, you don't need to acknowledge someone's right to keep and bear arms, which is the first one that comes to mind, if they, in the absence of a state.
That doesn't mean that believing people have the right to defend themselves is statist.
I would agree. I don't think it is statist. I think that.
And that's what he doesn't understand.
People clearly. I don't know what he understands and what he doesn't.
He's called him multiple times.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. I haven't heard him before.
No, I know. I'm just.
My stance is that, in fact, there are unwritten agreements, and the unwritten agreements generally come back to ownership, and that. You know, on Free Talk Live and many libertarian circles, we sort of conveniently forget that the state does own the land upon which we reside. I know you do. We defiantly sort of shake our fist at it and say, no, you don't own this.
Well, stop saying
but
we.
If I owned a piece
live.
Of property and I set up a government, it would be completely legitimate. And I think that that's a dichotomy. Now, I don't know
anyone on Free Talk Live who thinks that. If I set up a government, it would be this way. It's just annoying to me that you're saying we on Free Talk Live believe something I've never heard someone say on Free Talk
Live.
You
don't believe that if you bought a piece of land and seceded from the United States, that whatever rules you put in place would be legitimate?
It would be my home, not a government. Okay, I wouldn't own a giant swath of land. I wouldn't do that unless I wanted a company and to, like, rent it out to people, but then it would just be my property, not a government. And I know you're a little nitpicking on the word of, oh, if you have private security, then that's a cop, and if you own a property, then you're the president or the king or something. I know you think that, but I don't agree with that.
Well, that's fundamentally what the nation was set up on, the notion that a bunch of sovereigns, a bunch of kings come together and run their own place and then make agreements on things that affect all of them, you know, the roads, for instance, and stuff like that. I'll admit, and, you know, happily, that the state has abused at every turn the power that has been given to it. But I think that libertarians, there are a few people in the world that understand it, but libertarians are among them, that in fact the state owns the land and everybody on it. And that once you realize that, you are no longer in the trap. Like, that's the realization that sets you free, because you don't have to follow by their rules any longer.
I'm going to bring Skeeter back on the line here. Skeeter, your response?
I really want Bonnie to sit this one out. It's not going to go anywhere.
I really want you to never call again. You're the most annoying person. You talk like David from New Mexico.
I want you to call, Skeeter. It's Free Talk Live.
You could have just responded rather than continuing to go after Bonnie.
I can't talk over her when she's interrupting like every single segment I talk about. And she does it to pretty much does it.
Because you do things like this. You're not talking about the subject we're talking about. We gave you an opportunity to say something. You just go off about your feelings being hurt. I don't care about your feelings. I don't like you or know you. And if I saw you in real life, I wouldn't give you the time of day.
Constructively with
Ian and Mark.
You're not here to debate constructively, but go ahead with whatever it is you're trying to say.
Not with Bonnie. Not with Bonnie. She can't.
Then call back another night.
Just answer the question, okay?
I did. Okay, but she keeps interrupting me. Can you mute her when she's
interrupting? No, I'm not going to. But I'm telling you can like keep talking about the issue you were calling about without continuing to harp on Bonnie, because that's just going to keep bringing her back into the conversation.
That's true.
I'm asking you, Bonnie, please just sit this
one
out.
Goodbye. You know what? I gave him the opportunity multiple times, and all he has to do is keep talking about Bonnie. The number here is 603-283-6160.
He doesn't have any ability to defend what he believes because he doesn't have any understanding of what he believes. He's just decided these things, and I'm not just basing this on this one phone call. Anyone who has been listening for the last, 2 weeks, he's been calling under Brian, and then he started calling himself Skeeter, and he just says things, never backs them up, and then if you say a thing, he's just like, oh my God, that's ridiculous, right? And then you're like, why? And he's like, because it's ridiculous on its face because it is ridiculous. Like, he doesn't actually have any, way to defend what he
believes. I didn't hear anything that it resembled a fact. But I will say that in my experience over 20 years of being on Free Talk Live, that we have had the vast majority of people who call in perhaps aren't the best at dealing with people. Then again, I don't know if our hosts are either. But, that we don't get a lot of solid debate on Free Talk Live, sadly.
Let's go to the phones to your caller. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Robbie from Ohio.
Hey, Robbie.
I think the issue, I'm sorry, I really like the show and everything, but insulting callers, telling them to shut up and tell them that they're stupid, I think it's just getting out of hand.
I don't care. It's a fact about Skeeter. I really don't care what you think about it.
It just does not contribute. See, exactly.
You can listen to a different show. Nights I'm not on.
Yeah. Well, I do tend to agree with the caller on this. I don't like the idea of insulting people. I don't think that furthers a conversation. On the other hand, I do understand that Skeeter is a hostile individual. He's constantly complaining because he doesn't get enough time, he says. And
it's like saying that I call every caller stupid. Like, I don't have a civil conversation with anyone.
Multiple callers.
Okay, who?
Let's see, David from New Mexico.
Oh, he's stupid. Everyone calls him stupid.
Yeah, you're just not contributing to anything.
Well, no, I don't call David stupid. I think David's actually very intelligent. He's just, some nights he's, got a hair across his butt for whatever reason.
And he just says stupid things that are stupid, which makes him stupid. And he doesn't actually have anything important to say ever in his entire life.
You sound really bright right now, talking like that.
Okay, well, I don't like people sugarcoating facts, having opinions based on nothing, and then also making everybody else feel like, oh, your opinion is just as valid as everyone else. Does that change anything? You don't like me being severe, and I don't like you guys being beta males. Who cares? Listen to a different show. Not you, Ian.
It's just my opinion.
You don't think Ian's a beta male?
You're helping the situation by doing that.
All right. Robert, anything else you want to share tonight?
Nope. That's it. Have a good evening.
Thanks for the call tonight. Yeah, I tend to agree with him on that one. I mean, I would try to tone it down personally, Bonnie, if I were you, but I'm not you.
So, yeah, you're not me.
You know, you do you. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up
I can say anything. This about it is that the reason that Cantwell got kicked off the air was racism. But at about the time that, weeks before that, he got into this kind of crazy yelling at people on the air thing. And that's the observation that came to mind when I was hearing it, Cantwell and what was going on with him before he got canned.
Yeah, I don't recall that about.
He would scream at me, hang up on him, hang up on him. I'm not hanging up.
I didn't yell anything like that.
Not tonight, but you have done that before. You have demanded that that I hang up on callers, and of course it never works because I don't like to be told what to do.
There was one caller ever demanded you hang up on him, and he was a terrible caller, and you only kept him on for like a million years because you didn't want to do what I asked you to do, because then that would be unlibertarian.
That sounds exactly right.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's happened more than once, but.
And that's the other thing about Skeeter. It's like no one wants to call. Dial in to Free Talk Live and listen to that. No one wants to listen to, rights don't make any sense. They're kind of status, right? Well, because they are, right? No one wants to listen to that. It's boring.
I don't know whether he had any kind of substance to the claims
he was
making.
I have heard more calls of his than
I know you have.
And it's not like
I
just
your word for it.
Talked over him every single time he's been on the radio. Obviously, there's been a first time he was on, and then there was more conversation had. I mean, he's called multiple times. He purposely calls on nights when I'm on and then says, oh, I want Buddy to sit this one out because I can't refute anything she says.
Two nights a week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think that he started exactly the wrong way, right? Like by saying, hey, I'd like to just hear from Ian and Mark on this one. I mean, that's insulting and expect somebody to get,
activated
over it.
This is not how
the
show works.
However, what I would remind you that there are people who are listening to Free Talk Live tonight for the first time and have not heard Skeeter or Brian or whomever call in, just like me, and may have wanted to hear what they had to say. And that's probably what prompted the caller. Like, one of the things that changed my mind on corporal punishment for kids was there was a video released of a judge with a belt whipping his, like, teen daughter. Now, philosophically, I can see the point of corporal punishment in this circumstance, but man, oh man, it looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see your point. I'm just saying that if you go back and listen to this later, maybe you'll come to the conclusion it sounds, I don't know, I prefer not to use the term shrill because it's always applied in a sexist fashion.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to be like, go ahead, let's talk to you for 30 minutes. Freaking idiot. This idiot who has nothing important to say. I've listened to him multiple times, and he doesn't actually have any informed opinions. He just says things. And I'm telling you that. I'm not asking. I have listened to this man speak for way more time than either of you two have, and he's annoying, and I would rather just not even take a call from somebody who wants to call out the same thing every week. Let's talk about the definition of rights. That's the freaking boringest thing I can think of.
Let's continue here. We got David on the line, or Mr. Butt, calling from New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. All the Bonnie's favorites.
No, I didn't say I was Mr. What'd you call me, Ian?
Bonnie's favorite.
I didn't tell you Bonnie's what?
Bonnie's favorite. You're her favorite caller.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. And I didn't tell you that I transitioned to Mr. Butt. I told you I transitioned to Major Pain in the butt, and there's a big difference.
I remember what
you
said.
But so don't hurt, but it's hurt. And so Bonnie summoned me. So what would you like to say to me, Bonnie?
I didn't summon you. They brought you up as somebody that I yelled at before. The caller did.
No. You, if I rewind the tape. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Skeeter,
we don't have tapes anymore.
Don't,
that's exactly
me.
How it happened.
You don't annoy me, Skeeter. And you, matter of fact, I like almost all of your callers.
That shocks me not at all that you like Skeeter.
And you like almost none of your callers.
You don't know
but
that.
Anyway, you said that. Well, that's my opinion. You said to Mr. Skeeter.
You can't have an opinion on my thoughts.
You said I'm recalling what you said to the best of my ability, Ms. Bonnie. And you said to Skeeter. You said something about he's like David from New Mexico. So how is David from New Mexico, Bonnie?
Annoying. Makes jokes that literally go over like a cow fart. Has the same topics every time he calls. Is always trying to make some kind of gotcha statement. And even when we answer completely logically and you haven't got us, you just act like you have. And then the show goes on for like 45 more minutes and it's boring.
And so what I'm hearing from you is that you think that people should all act in ways that you approve of.
No, I think that if you want to do a thing like call into a radio show, you should have an interesting thing to say. You're basically like wasting everyone's time who wants to listen, who wants to have actual conversations. I mean, all this time that has passed since Skeeter called, where we could have been talking about interesting things. Somebody could have called in and brought up an interesting subject and not just like immediately insulted me.
Well, rights are an interesting subject, but he wasn't a particularly good caller on that particular subject.
I would respond to what Bonnie said.
Okay.
So you labeled, and I don't remember all the different terms because you used a lot of them, but they were all derogatory terms about like, for instance, that what I bring up is not worthwhile, it's uninteresting, whatever terms you use.
Most of the time,
but
yeah.
It is not my opinion or Skeeter's opinion that what we have to say is worthwhile? Isn't our opinion worth something?
Sure, but that doesn't mean that it's not boring. And you know that most of the time you don't have anything actually worthwhile to talk about. You're trying to do some kind of gotcha to Ariel, and it's like, it's painful. I don't want to waste. I would rather be doing anything else than sitting in this chair talking to, or with my headphones on, hearing David in New Mexico say, like, Ariel, don't you think you were born a man, technically? Ha, ha, ha. Like, it's just not interesting. And if you think that's interesting, well, you have bad opinions. And I think that opinions can also be very uninformed and dumb. Whether it's your opinion or not, that doesn't mean I can't have an opinion on your opinion.
Okay, so two things, or actually one thing, A and B. One, A, I disagree with you. I think that you are missing the points that I'm trying to make. I think that they're going by you and you're not seeing them.
I don't think so at all. I answered that completely clearly.
Can I finish?
Well, I just answered your question completely, and now your next question is just pretending like I didn't answer it, so it's kind of boring, right?
No, I wasn't.
What an interesting thing for everyone in 200 radio stations to be listening to right now.
You're living up to what Skeeter said about you. You're and Skeeter's not the only one. Major Payne says it about you.
I interrupted you once this whole time. You think you just get to monologue on the radio about some boring topic, like how much you don't like me? I don't care. Like, I really don't care.
Who says I don't like you?
You don't like my opinions or whatever, or I just don't care.
You don't even get that right, because I agree with the majority of what the points that you made. I just don't agree with how you make them. I agree with what the.
Then you're doing exactly what you accused me of, aren't you? You said, like, so everyone needs to act exactly how you want them? I'm not going to act exactly how you want me. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going
to
be, like...
I'm not asking you to. I would like you just to continue on as the as you are. It's rather entertaining. I just want to question you on the validity of some of the things you're saying. I want you to continue being exactly the way you are.
Then I don't get the point of your call.
That's what that. Now you made my other point is that when I make points, they go right over your head.
Yeah,
often,
sure.
And what you see is some sub point that I'm making as a response, usually to somebody's behavior that you see, for instance, as a jab, and that actually isn't the point of my call. That's just a verbal boxing, defending myself when I'm attacked by you.
Okay, you've called in and attacked us multiple times, so I really don't care. You've called me stupid, and I called you stupid tonight, so I really don't care.
Okay, you're extremely, can we move on?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think this is a boring conversation.
Yeah,
people are calling in to talk about the way I talk.
Bonnie,
I don't care.
You caused it, Bonnie.
No, I didn't.
Well, no, you picked up the phone and you called in.
Your behavior caused what you're complaining about.
So once again, you don't like the way I behave and you want to change it. I really don't care. I would rather be talking about something interesting and not arguing with a bunch of idiots who are allowed to call in every single night, and it would never happen on any other radio station in the entire world, and then they complain about it.
Ian has chosen the format as Free Talk Live, whereas other programs don't
have
liberal policy. And frankly, Ian's policy is better than other programs.
Then stop complaining about it.
All right, David, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here, if you want to join the show, is 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything that's on your mind, but, you know, hopefully it'll be something more than just criticizing Bonnie. Of course, the phones are open here. It is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
We'll be right back. USA News update. Former President Trump is calling his indictment related to the handling of classified documents a witch hunt.
They're using, they've weaponized the Justice Department, absolutely weaponized it, in order to try and win an election where he's way behind.
He made the comments today during an interview on Radio Libre 790 in Miami. It's where he's scheduled to be arraigned tomorrow on those federal charges. Secretary of State Antony Blinken scheduled to visit Beijing next week amid heightened tensions between the U.S. and Russia. In a news conference today, Blinken confirmed that China has been operating an intelligence collection facility in Cuba for several years. Human remains have reportedly been found in the wreckage of a highway collapse in Philadelphia. 6ABC News reports the remains were discovered today, but the identity of the person is still unknown. The collapse happened after a tanker truck fire early Sunday morning underneath Interstate 95. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
You want to discuss, and we're going to continue, of course, with your phone calls. Ian, Bonnie, and Mark joining you here tonight. You can join us online anytime you want. Just go to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features there. Coming up later this year, Mark is going to be going to Prague once again, as he has done the last couple of years, for an event called Liberty in Our Lifetime. It's going to be focusing on the so-called free cities, the idea of a self-governing territory that upholds individual rights and freedoms. Now, I don't think there's really one that's full-on complete yet, but they are working on some of them. And representatives from those projects in the United States, Honduras, Germany, and Norway will be joining to share updates and progress on why you should consider moving to or doing business in a free city. Mark spoke at last year's conference, and he'll be speaking again this year. You can use code FTL for a 10% discount on the tickets there. And once again, that is libertyinourlifetime.org. Code FTL, save 10%. It's coming up October 14th and 15th. For the Liberty in Our Lifetimes event in Prague. We go to more of your calls and thoughts. Dan is on the line in Michigan here. Dan, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just want to talk about the U.S. dollar and Bitcoin.
Sure.
Someone had suggested that, like, when the dollar crashes, that it it could be more valuable to people trying to stay with private transactions, something like that. I was thinking about that, maybe. Possibly.
You say it could be more valuable to people. What do you mean by that?
Well, it wouldn't be nothing to do with the state no more. It would just be a currency because it's already made. You know, it's solid.
Bitcoin or dollars?
Are you talking about Bitcoin here?
No, the dollar, like coins and 20s and 30s or 50s and stuff. Just cash, like, but not, no banking and government control of the money.
Well, you do understand the dollar is controlled by the government and its Federal Reserve.
Well, yeah,
right?
But what he's trying to say is if that all crashed tomorrow, people would keep the physical dollars and coins and still use them to trade.
But they wouldn't be worth anything.
But they would, but...
When the dollar crashes, that means it is going down in value at a very, very rapid clip, usually due to hyperinflation.
Like as a promissory note, you know, like, this 20 I give you, you take it there, he'll give you 20 worth of whatever.
Yeah, but the thing is, maybe what you don't, maybe you're just not familiar with the idea of inflation. So when the government prints more money out, it increases the supply of money in the economy, and that money is chasing around. Hold on a sec, Dan. The money is chasing around the same amount of goods, so the price of those goods goes up. When the dollar crashes, as you discussed at the beginning of your call, what that means is the dollar's value is crashing, and that probably means it's due to hyperinflation, meaning the Federal Reserve would then be printing out dollars at a record clip. They already printed a lot of dollars within the last few years. I think it was 40% of all the dollars that exist were printed after COVID. So you're already seeing some pretty significant inflation, but generally they don't consider hyperinflation to be hyperinflation until it hits 50% per year or more. So, you know, even if the dollar were to, or even if the federal government were to go away, you know, in the event of a complete failure of its dollar, which would just be a wonderful thing, I suspect those dollars would not be buying you very much at all because people would realize that the whole dollar was a scam in the first place. So why would someone want to trade something that has no actual value to it?
I don't know. There's something either I'm not understanding or, well, if they stop printing, I don't know. That's just a side note because...
Understand, Dan, is I'm just going to speculate here, and you tell me if I'm even close to right about this. The dollar is not backed by anything. Okay, so maybe...
I know.
You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it used to be, but...
It did.
I'm thinking of it as, like, between people, you know? Like honest people or something.
You're
like.
Saying that
it's not like a town of people that knew each other and liked each other couldn't say, or could they not say, we're going to continue using the ones we have, and that's going to be fine. It's going to be worth this much.
I suppose they could try and see what.
I don't think it'd be as good currency.
See what the market said about it, but I mean, everyone would know that the dollar was a spectacular failure. I mean, how many people are taking the Zimbabwe $100 trillion notes and trading them for any other purpose besides collectible value?
That's a good point.
I understand, but it would be like a new system. There's no more printing and the reason I come up with that, someone suggested that it would be more valuable, not because of more printing and all that in the government, but I don't understand it yet. I'm just working on it.
Yeah.
But on the other hand...
I mean, you could try it and see what happens.
Well, you got some... you guys have really changed my thoughts on politics. Like, when I was, like, kind of never into politics at all, didn't give a crap and ignored it all. But then I started getting interested. And then I went to a Bernie Sanders rally, came back, and I'm thinking about that and talking about that, talking to my cousin and stuff. And I quickly did a 180, voted for Trump, and now here I am doing another 180 or whatever it is to a libertarian type outlook.
Well, you're on a good track here, Dan. I wish there was like a book that I could recommend offhand. I know there's been probably a zillion of them written from the libertarian perspective on money, but a good book to look at on explaining the money system and just going over some of the basics on it. Is that Ron Paul? Is it a good one?
I don't know. I didn't read it. I've never read Ron Paul's.
That's
one
what I'm
of
saying. Yeah. I wish there was one that I had read that I could definitely say this is a good one.
Oh, right. Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt.
Okay. You've read that one?
I've read that one.
I can't even read a book anymore these days.
You can listen to that one on YouTube for
free. They have audio books.
Yeah, on YouTube for free for that one.
Yeah. What's one you study? You suggest it?
Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt. I don't know how...
Hazlitt, Henry Hazlitt.
Yeah, it's been years since I... actually, I didn't read it. I listened to it as well. And it's been years since then, so I don't really remember if it goes into just, like, how our money system is set up, but it goes into, like, everything you could want to know about...
Economics
in One Lesson.
Yeah, I think I read that one. I think it was pretty good. Also, Turd Ferguson is recommending Murray Rothbard's book, What Has the Government Done to Our Money? So that one
might write that.
That's okay. It's called What Has the Government Done to Our Money? And I have not read it, but I know Rothbard, Murray Rothbard is the author, Rothbart. He's generally considered one of the leading libertarian thinkers out there in the last 100 years or so. So that might also be a good one. So hopefully that'll help you.
What I was getting at sort of was it'd be a whole new thing in place. Like the money would doesn't have to be valuable, just what it represents. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. The dollar doesn't represent anything except the full quote unquote faith and credit or whatever they say of the federal government. And right now people believe that it has value, but as they continue to print, which is what they're going to do, the people will start to realize that it doesn't have the value that it once does. And it will, as soon as people get it in their heads that it's not as valuable as it once was, then hyperinflation can really kick into high gear.
You're saying it has to be backed by something.
It doesn't have to. I mean, obviously it hasn't been for 50 years, but in the last 50 years we've seen the value of the dollar plummet dramatically ever since they took away the gold backing from the dollar. So it should be backed by something. To have good money, it should have actual value backing it, and it doesn't.
All in itself, it should be valuable. By gold and silver.
Yeah, and that's, of course, why, I like the Goldback a lot. Goldback.com is a great website to go and learn about these actual pieces of gold that you can trade, that you can keep in your wallet.
You guys were talking about Defy the Grid, and I went there and got some Goldbacks and a silver coin.
Aren't they just the coolest thing? I mean, what do you think about the Goldback? Do you like it?
Yeah, you think they're gorgeous. I don't think they're very pretty.
Really?
I just like them.
I gotta say, I think you're unusual on that one, Dan. I think people love gold. I mean, whenever I get the gold back, go ahead.
No, I like it that it's gold, but I don't think it's pretty.
You don't do you mean the artwork? That you don't like the artwork or the color, like the gold kind of sheen, the color of gold?
Well, it's sort of like dimmed. The image is dimmed, but I do artwork and I kind of look at it. I find it pretty.
Okay, so you're a critic. You're an art critic. I got you.
That's the other thing. The front is kind of dimmed, and then the back is really shiny. That's one thing I like about it.
I like the shiny, but the image is not really nice.
Dan,
but
thanks. Go ahead.
Oh, do I get to talk about Bitcoin a bit?
Yeah, sure. Let's hear it.
All right. I got one friend that can help me get Bitcoin, and that's the only onboarding I can get because – I tried doing it on my own. They're doing some tricks with my phone or something, but I can't seem to get any Bitcoin on my own. But my friend.
Well, one thing we're not going to be able to do very effectively here is give you a hand-holding tour of technology and how to do it. I know, and I haven't read the full book yet, but Aaron Day, the Republican presidential candidate, he did just come out with a book. A lot of presidential candidates release books when they are running for office, and he says that in the back of his book, in the appendix, that they are going to have a list of like how to get crypto within 15 minutes.
Wow.
And so I haven't had a chance to actually, I'm like maybe about just over half of the way through the book. So I haven't gotten to the appendix yet, but once I get through that, I'll have an opinion about, you know, how good of advice it is. But
is the book out yet?
Right.
It is, yeah.
All right, let's check it out.
Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Dan. I do appreciate hearing from you. The number here is 603-283-6160. Unfortunately,
let me jump in on the dollar, if I may.
Sure.
The thing that gives the U.S. dollar value is that the United States government takes it in tax. And, you know, ultimately, that's it. If that's the utility of it, right? So they made a deal with Saudi Arabia and OPEC that other countries need to buy oil in dollars. That's because, you know, one of the fiat currencies, that's what the dollar is, a fiat currency, one of those fiat currencies is going to bubble to the top, and right now is the dollar's time, no doubt about it. But ultimately, any fiat currency, its value is that somebody in government said it was valuable and that they will take it for taxes.
Yep. And if the government is collapsing, then its value is going to be highly questionable at that point.
Well, what a great call. Somebody who called in about a thing he had thought was interesting. It was pretty interesting. I hadn't thought about what would people do with the physical dollars if the bank crashes or the government crashed tomorrow. Sorry, like the Fed, the money system crashed tomorrow. And then when he didn't know a thing, he said, you know what? I might not know much about that. And then we all went on with our lives. No one interrupted anyone, and it wasn't boring.
Indeed. The number here is 603-283-6160. I'm going to see if I can get the book title for Aaron Day, which I should know because I'm in the middle of reading it. But it's a little lengthy. So here it is. It's The Final Countdown, Crypto, Gold, Silver, and the People's Last Stand Against Tyranny by Central Bank Digital Currencies by Aaron Day. So you look for Aaron R. Day on Amazon. You can buy the Kindle version. And, of course, it's available in paperback and even hardcover, apparently, as well. So I do want to have Aaron on to talk about it. I've been enjoying the book so far, and it's rare that I'll actually take time to read books these days unless I'm sitting in a jail cell. So that's, I guess, you know, a compliment to the book that has kept my interest.
Could be doing a lot of reading soon.
Hopefully not. Let's go to Chuck in Washington. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah. Love your show. You know, I'm listening you on KQX, Needles, California, 1340 AM.
Yes, sir.
And when Bonnie and Dave Olson from New Mexico were cutting up there, I got a flashback of old school KGO 810 AM in San Francisco back in the 90s when they had real good talk radio. And don't let that go, everybody.
You're complimenting Bonnie's conversation with
absolutely.
David. But you also don't like David, right? So, like, it, you know, if somebody's having a fight with David, then
I like everybody.
I'm trying
to run for president. Yeah, I'm going to be Mike Lindell, and I'm going to run for president. And I want everybody to buy my pillow.
Who's copying who? Is he copying? Is Mike Lindell copying Alex Jones, or vice versa?
I don't know. They're both probably friends with each other. So good question.
Sharing tips.
Chuck, are you really running for president, or are you just joking there?
Oh, I think he got cut off. I didn't know if he
just dropped off the line. But his call is still there, so maybe we just lost his signal temporarily. Chuck going once? Chuck going twice? I don't know. Maybe he just wanted to make the Mike Lindell joke. Thanks for the call tonight, Chuck. I definitely appreciate it. The number here, if you want to join the show, is 603-283-6160. Of course, you can bring up absolutely anything that you want to discuss. Bonnie, you had wanted to talk about depression rates. We were talking about Mexico versus the United States, and I did pull up a chart here, not a chart, I guess, but like one of those infographics where they've got the map of the world, and then you can kind of hover over the countries and see what they say the prevalence of depression is. So I don't have – you were looking for the number of people, you know, per thousand or whatever that are on depressants or antidepressants. I don't have that information.
I couldn't find it. I mean, I didn't take like an hour to research, but just with a simple
Google
search.
We know it's like one out of six in the United States.
I was looking for Mexico because that was my...
I bet it's one out of 60. I mean, I would say it's a full factor. It would be just a guess that I would take.
In Mexico.
Exactly, yeah. That's just my... I would guess the same thing just from like talking to people from Mexico. And my point about it was people have actual, like, deep love for their friends and family and other human beings. I haven't been to Mexico, but I've known tons of Mexicans. I'm from San Antonio, and what am I trying to say? Oh, yeah, I just think that that has a lot to do with the openness on not enforcing rules. Like, my ex, he used to want to start a, I've said this on the air before, but he used to want to start a business, like, selling cakes from our house, and I was like, we can't do that. We would go to jail. And he was just like, Bonnie, you need to be more Mexican.
According to this chart, the United States has a prevalence of 5.9% of the population with so-called depression, and that actually sets the United States at number 2 in the world.
What's one?
Number 1 is actually Ukraine.
I was going to say Iceland or something because they're high on antidepressants.
Yep. Now, this is data from the Global Health Data Exchange. And again, U.S. at number 2. Well, I guess it's tied at number 2 with Australia and Estonia at 5.9%. By comparison, Mexico is lower with 4.2%. So again, where those numbers come from, I don't know. How many of those people are on the antidepressants? Because what doesn't make sense is if it's only, you know, 6% of the population in the United States are supposedly suffering from depression, why are 1/6 of the population, which is a higher percentage, closer to 16%,
on antidepressants?
Well, my little brother got put on antidepressants just for telling, he works a night shift in the Air Force, and he went to the nurse telling them, like, I can't get used to the night shift, like, every time, because it's not, like, full-time. It's like he's half the time on night shift, half time he's not. And he wasn't saying he's depressed at all. He told the nurse, like, I need something to stay awake. And he got a prescription. He started taking it. Then he Googled it afterwards.
Oh,
and he was
God.
Like, this is an antidepressant.
Can you imagine not looking up a medicine?
I know. And I was so confused about
that
part,
too. That you're going to put in your body? Jeez. All right. Let's continue here with
I just want to say, if it wasn't clear what I meant by that, if you can't see why I brought those two things together, let's look at the Jay Noonan case. In a place like Mexico, where everybody is, like, very openly friends, they if they're eating out, they're going to invite their neighbors, things like that. You know, not like everyone is friends in Mexico, obviously, but there's just way more big family, you know, community type situation there than America. If somebody sees a kid in a car seat outside, do you think they're going to just call the cops? I think that's a failure of a human being and society, quote unquote.
Does Mexico have Karens like the United States does? You know,
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, but
do
what
they have
prevalence
it as bad?
Of, right? What prevalence of Karenism?
I can't imagine they do. Wouldn't think that the response to, hey, there's a kid in an air conditioned car and on a 75 degree day sitting in here, and he's been in here for an entire 13 minutes so far. I think he's going to die. You know, like, I don't think that the response to that call would be much of anything.
I want to go to the phones here. We got this caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
This is Mike down here in Florida.
Hey, Mike.
I had a question on how the system works when you got that set up with the private security. I've heard it explained before. Where would you take the people that have done something wrong, and who would hold them? How would they be held? What would be? How would you deal with that?
Yeah, I think you're asking about what might happen with, like, an actual dangerous criminal in a world or a country in which there was no centralized monopoly on violence, like the government as we know it. Is that what you're asking about?
Right.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. There's a book called The Market for Liberty that was written by Morris and Linda Tannehill in the 1970s that I think addresses this fairly well. But the answer really is that we can't really know exactly what it would look like. I think libertarians do generally want to see more restitution being paid to victims rather than just throwing people in jail cells. But obviously, there are certain people who are not sorry for what they've done. They're not willing to pay restitution, and they are a constant danger to the people around them. So those people, I think there is a very strong argument to keep them separated from society. Now,
yeah, and I think that if you're talking about sort of the difference between pre-sentence confinement versus post-sentence confinement, that this is sort of necessary to look at. I think that the best thing to do is to sort of look at the way justice was meted out prior to, let's say, the last 100 years. So if you were in a community and somebody was just running amok, they'd be held in some manner or another. They might have a little room off someplace that they call the jail, and they'd put that person in there. And then they would presumably get justice within weeks. Like, there would be a trial within weeks. And then the response, the judge would make whatever sentence they, you know, they made. And remember, judges' hands have been tied in the last 100 years. Basically, legislators have said the only choices you have are fines, incarceration, and death. Like, that's all judges can mete out. You know, there's no more stocks or, you know, things like that. So the judge may say if somebody, I don't know, is coming on your property and threatening you, and you know, the whole trial they're like, yeah, I'm still going to do this. They're probably going to you know, remand that person into some kind of confinement. Or they're going to say that they're dangerous to their community and just off them. I'm not saying that capital punishment would be less in a libertarian world, and I'm kind of against capital punishment. Mm-hmm. But nobody wants to pay for incarceration. Like, how many people do you want to pay to keep in prison? Because you're victimized. Right. And then you're victimized again to pay for them,
right?
To keep alive. So I think that it's, we don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, some people have speculated on this. And I don't remember if it was Dr. Mary Ruart who made the speculation or if it was the Tannehills. But you know, the question is, all right, let's say we're not going to just execute people. And that, you know, there are still these dangerous people that need to be separated from society. How do you pay for that without a system of confiscatory taxation based on the threat of violence against the people of the area?
Well if the police station that was, doing all this was voluntarily paid for as voluntary security, then maybe it would just come from that.
Well, it could be a voluntary thing by society. It could also incentivize the people in the system, the people who are being put into these jails. Now, right now, it's not uncommon for them to put you to work in a jail, right, or in a prison. You usually get a fraction of a penny per hour or whatever it is that they're paying out. But they could essentially incentivize the prisoners to work and contribute towards running the facility, but at the same time give themselves a better stay, right? Like, you can't force someone to work because then, you know, it's slave labor and they're probably not going to be very useful. But if you can give them an incentive to say, look, you'll get the better cells, you'll get the better meals, you'll get the better, you know, fill in the blank, the better treatment if you go to work. If you don't want to work, well, then you have to sit here and live off the charity of the community. So there could be different kind of tiers that may actually help rehabilitate people.
We haven't even brought up exiling people.
Hold that thought, caller. If you want to continue the discussion, you're welcome to hang with us here and we'll continue it. The number is 603-283-6160, and of course you can bring up absolutely anything that is on your mind. Plus, we can come back to the Depression conversation. Is Mexico more free than the United States? And it's all coming up on Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.